Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We are back. It is 13 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us today. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Just remember the name of the show. Put the normal stuff on the front and the back, and check that out, please. Also, our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you have a question, if you'd like to ask our special guest and our good friend this hour, Natalia Lee, a question about some of the things that we're talking about, Jim Pearson's on the board. He'll take your call. He's the best, and we'll be talking to you. 888-822-8255. Natalia Lee, as I said, is our guest. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She's an engineer, a writer, an entrepreneur, who is also a contributing editor to numerous trade publications. She's the author of the new book I'm holding in my hand, Revenge of the Computer Widow, which I am really excited about. We're going to be talking about this survey that she took, folks, and we'll get her to tell us about that. Natalia, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
Now, remind me of the name of your other book. I just don't have it.
Miracles for the Entrepreneur, must have funny book for anyone in business.
Right, Miracles for the
It's a book of cartoons to help you through the ups and downs of being in business for yourself.
It's a fun book, folks, and we've had it on the show before. I couldn't remember the Miracles part. I knew it had Entrepreneur in it. Natalia, now you have been with us many times before. You told us months and months ago that you were doing the survey. We actually gave people the opportunity on the show to contact you to go to your website or call you and participate in the survey, and you've been back since, and you gave us a little bit of a preliminary review of the book before it came out, but I have it in my hand right now. It's called Revenge of the Computer Widow. What in the world is this book about?
What it's done is, you know, I think everybody's got a clear idea of the millionaire next door.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can find out about the secrets of the nerd next door. And I have a pretty comprehensive survey, 60 questionnaires. It's covered everything from what their likes and dislikes are, from their eating habits to the kind of cars they drive, what they value, what their pet peeves are, their favorite colors. You name it, I've asked for it. And beyond the 60 questions in the survey, a lot of people volunteer a lot more information than I imagine. Relationships in cyberspace, some of their experience on the internet.
Was it TMI, too much information? Did they give you more than you really wanted to know?
Yes.
I don't know if we want to know. You'll have to tell me some of that stuff off the air. I don't think we can tell some of that on the air. Now, you had 800 respondents.
I directly contacted at least 800 persons. I had 426 respond.
Okay.
And I have another 100 surveys to be analyzed for the second edition of the book.
I got you. All right. Before we get into the survey, let's talk about this thing that gave rise to the whole issue, and that's the black box.
That's right. And I think that's kind of people who aren't familiar with computers. There's a perception that a computer is a magic black box. But in reality, whatever you tell it to do, it's supposed to do what you tell it to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's in theory. And actually, when some of the research I found, like I felt it was necessary to do something on the history of computers in order to appreciate where they've come today. And there was actually some surprising things. I think the Charles Babbage in 1833, he developed the device that kind of, they believe, it's a precursor to the modern computer. IBM was actually created in 1924. So a lot of things that we see today, we think, oh, where do they come from? They actually had roots way back when. The internet, the first conception was in 1962. Digital Equipment Corporation.
Now, wait a minute. I thought Al Gore invented the internet.
That was back in the...
That's what he said. That's his story anyway, and he's sticking to it.
Whatever. the computer chip was the first version, and there's been four generations of technology, each time making the computer chip more powerful. The first chips came out in 1959. along with your mainframe computers have been around for about 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's really revolutionized everything is the personal computer.
Yeah, the microchip. And
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been out since the 1970s.
70s, yeah. I had my very first black box around 1981. It was a Xerox computer, believe it or not. And it was terrible. It was a horrible machine. But I worked for Xerox in those days, and I ordered one. I got a good deal on it because I was an employee, and I ordered one. It was horrible.
How much did it weigh? It must have been huge.
No, it wasn't that big. It was actually kind of small, but it was totally ineffective. For one thing, there was no real software to you know, not very much application that you can use with it. I use it so little, it was hard to remember. It's hard to remember really what it was all about. I don't remember any of the specifications. But then just a couple of years later, I had my first Macintosh. Had 128K of RAM. 128K. Today, computers have 128 megabytes of RAM.
Oh.
Random access memory, by the way, folks. That's what that is. For you Luddites out there. Tell us what a Luddite is.
A Luddite is just a nickname for somebody who doesn't know much about computers.
If you're not on a computer, if you don't use computers, if you're scared of computers, if you run away from them, if you think computers are evil, which some people who use computers think they're evil, your survey found that too,
I saw.
Right. If that's what you think, if that's what you are a Luddite, L-U-D-D-I-T-E, a Luddite.
Well, actually, some of the people that have been in the business for 15, 20 years, they think computers are evil.
Yeah, that was interesting that you found that in your survey.
That's right. The premise was is that too much time on the computers led to antisocial behavior.
Well, but see, that's like saying money is the root of all evil, and that's not true. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. So computers aren't evil. It's the love of the computer, the addiction to the computer that's evil.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And actually, it's pretty socially acceptable nowadays if you're not feeling very social to spend time on your computer.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a way of reverting, isn't it, to going back into your shell, because with all the chat rooms and everything, you can sort of become social without having to show people what you look like.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I had an interesting experience last night. I invited 200 techies to our house.
How many came?
29. That was it.
Did you call them and ask them to turn the computer off and come on up back to the party?
Oh, I think they just got caught up on stuff.
Stand by. Natalia, either that or you don't give very good parties and they know it, maybe. Maybe that's it. Stand by, Natalia. It's 20 after, folks. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We are back. It's 24 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. 888-822-8255. If you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make to me or our special guest this hour, Natalia Lee, please give us a call, 888-822-8255. Natalia, in your book, you've got some interesting results here on a couple of pages that I wanted you to talk to us about.
Yes, Jim. One thing I found out that a computer professional's age and education credentials have little to do with what they made on an annual basis. Quite often I found individuals under 30 years, they're the ones who became the millionaires. They're the ones who are earning the six-digit figure incomes. Well, I felt sorry there was a lot of people over 50 that were just really slogging away on a software program.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, they just weren't getting anywhere.
Go ahead.
Mind you, a lot of the guys under 30, they tell me, you know, they're working 16, 20 hours a day.
Yeah. I saw, someone told me a week or so ago that they knew, there was an example that he knew personally of a 19-year-old young man who took his first job out of high school. And he's making $90,000.
Oh, some of these guys I heard, you know, 3 years out of school and they're making $250,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of guys I interviewed. They've been selling commercial software by the time they're 12.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're well known on the web community as to who they are.
What are some of the other things?
I found out that people who did not work 9-to-5 in the IT world, like they were not working for high-tech corporations, they're likely to spend just as much time on the computer after 5 o'clock as the professionals.
Right.
The average individual I interviewed spent on average around 20 hours a week on the computer after 5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 10% of the respondents slept in the same room as their computer.
Uh-oh. Now, what does that mean?
That means 1 out of 10 persons keeps a computer in the same bedroom that they sleep in. Now, mind you, there are a lot of students. But I even found married couples that slept in the same room as the computer and interviewed both husband and wife, how they felt about that.
How did they feel about it? How did the wife feel about that?
Well, in a lot of cases, the wives are quite laid back, although one man phoned me up to tell me how he proudly removed the computer from the master bedroom after 9 months of marriage. Now, the highest number of personal computers per capita reported was 40. 40.
Per what?
That's right. One individual I interviewed had 40 computers.
40 computers.
At home.
I want to go back, though, to what you were saying about the husband and wife thing. You actually started this whole process 15 years ago, because you were a computer widow.
Yes, I married a computer geek. The first year it was a honeymoon. He never touched a computer after 5. And then true colors showed after 1 year. And his computer usage time, I'd say, was often 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
Which
But you did manage to have 3 children in the meantime, though.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just wanted to point that out to folks.
Yeah. I would say my husband's a soft core computer geek.
Right.
Compared to some of the other people I've interviewed. We don't have a local area network at home either, like a lot of people told me.
Some of these results, folks, are a little scary for me. Some of these hit a little too close to home for me, because I don't consider myself to be a computer nerd. I obviously am not a computer nerd. I'm a very active user of computers. I make them work for me. I employ them in my business. But some of these things hit a little bit too close to home, like this color thing.
Blue was your favorite color?
Yes.
Followed by green, red, and purple.
Yeah.
Also,
I didn't know that. Are those the colors?
Those are the colors.
I don't care for purple, but tell us the story on the blue.
On the blue, that's a color definitely the favorite for men, especially over 30. Now, the younger generation, I call them the net people, their favorite color was forest green.
Was what?
Forest
green.
Yeah.
What about ladies?
Ladies are all over the map in terms of color. They drove me up the wall.
Well, that's classic. I mean, that's kind of expected. I mean, women are allowed to live in so many more colors than men are.
Yes.
If you think about it. I mean, go to a man's closet. How many colors does he have? Go to a woman's closet, and it's all the colors of the rainbow.
That's right.
Yeah. I just realized maybe guys are being programmed to like blues and grays and greens and things like that.
No. This puts you in the category of the book, Jim. 24% of the people I surveyed have taken a laptop computer into bed with them.
I am not going to comment. I'm not, but it was above the covers.
That's right.
I did keep the laptop above the covers.
Now, 40% of computer professionals take their computers on their holidays.
Now, I did that once. I'm ashamed to say I took a computer on a vacation once. I really did that. I'm embarrassed to say that, but I am admitting it. Stand by, Natalia. We got to take a quick break. Folks, we got some more research to talk to you about on what people do with their computers. 29 after, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Natalia Lee is our good friend. Her book is Revenge of the Computer Widow. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to join me and my special guest, Natalia Lee, the author of Revenge of the Computer Widow, if you have a question for us, 888-822-8255. If you are a computer widow, you might even be a computer widower. Natalia, you know there is such a thing as a computer widower.
Yes, I interviewed many of them, too.
Yeah, and we'll get you to talk about that a little bit in a minute. But before we do that, I want you to talk to us about how we can contact you, how we can find your book.
You can get the book. You can order it online at the website geekculture.com.
So geekculture.com.
That's right, www.geekculture.com. Or you can phone Book Clearinghouse at 1-800-431-1575.
Okay, when's it going to be in bookstores and online, in the online bookstores?
Well, Geek Culture is selling it online.
Okay, I know, but I mean, like if they want to go to their local bookstore, will it be there?
No.
Okay.
Strictly online or through Book Clearinghouse at 1-800-431-1579.
All right, and we'll get you to give that number out in just a little bit. Folks, we were talking about, I was having Natalia talk to us about some of the, just to give us a quick tour of some of the interesting results. What's next? Some of the most interesting things that you found, Natalia?
Well, I found out there's a higher probability that a computer user lives in a household with a pet rather than a child.
See, I don't fit that at all. I don't have a pet. Of course, I'm single, so I don't. I really think it would be the hours I work. I don't have a pet because I wouldn't want to mistreat the animal. That would be mean for me to have a pet.
I had two divisions for the computer professional: those who were self-employed as consultants,
mm-hmm.
or had their own businesses, high-tech
okay.
businesses,
okay.
or those who are working downtown for a high-tech corporation like IBM, Nortel,
right.
kind of companies. And I found out that the women techies, for example, their average age was 32. Only about 12% of them had children.
Hmm.
But
only 12%.
That's right. Now the men that were working as computer techies, 52% were single.
Very interesting.
And they had the average age of 34.8 years.
Hmm.
So that was quite surprised.
Right.
Although one-third of the male techies were considered themselves introverted.
And now, one thing that you had here is computer widows and widowers were still married, you said. Often did who were still married often did little to change their home life situation.
That's right.
Explain that to us.
They just, which surprised me, I'm probably one of the more vindictive computer widows. In fact, since working on the book, my husband has gone from the computer to the chainsaw, like he's taking up woodwork. Now there's a joke about when programmers take up woodwork. So
there is?
Yeah, I won't comment on the call.
Oh, okay.
Stuff that he's been making. Yeah, I was surprised. The women who are in these situations are fairly independent. Like, there are some advantages in being married to a computer-type guy. You know where he's going to be all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Often you don't have to ask him permission to do things. So it's not all that bad.
So find out when he's really going to be absorbed in something and say, honey, I'm going to go buy a fur. I'll be back in a few minutes. Okay, be careful.
Yeah, so people did nothing. And it works well for a woman who's fairly independent. I'd say that's the key. She's independent. And she doesn't have to drag her husband everywhere she wants to go.
Talk to us about the three choices that you asked people about this last one here on this page.
Sex, computers, and chocolate?
Very interesting. Say that. Tell us about that.
I asked people their preferences, you know, sex, computers, or chocolate, and I said to the single person, assuming, you know, they had equal access to all three. And the results were that they didn't sometimes drive all the time, but 85% of the computer professionals, male, preferred sex, 10% preferred computers, and 5% chocolate. So these are not the people that you sell chocolate to.
Those were the guys, though, right?
Those are the guys. Now, I think the women are more conscientious. The female techies, only 58% of female techies preferred sex, 16% computers, and 26% chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people on the net, I call them the net people, the people that responded to the survey online, 36% of them preferred sex, 38% preferred their computers, and 26% preferred chocolate. Now, a lot of the net people were different in that they were younger. These are the people that have grown up on the computer since they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
But then it didn't jive with who thought of sex while working on the computer. 83% of the net people said they thought of sex while working on the computer.
83% said they thought of sex while working on the computer.
Those are the net people, typical
right.
people under 30.
Of course, you don't know what websites they were at when they did that, do you?
Well,
that's another story.
The most popular number of websites are related to sex.
Yeah, unfortunately, sadly. Okay, one of the things, we're coming up on a break, and I want you to talk to us about some of the people that you asked to respond. You specifically sought these certain individuals out,
right.
like Bill Gates and Stephen Jobs and other folks like that. We're going to get you to tell us what they said or how they responded when we come back after these messages. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our good friend, Natalia Lee, the author of Revenge of the Computer Widow. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. and I appreciate your business. Our special guest is our very good friend, Natalia Lee. Natalia has been with us quite a few times before. Her first book that we talked about on the show was Miracles for the Entrepreneur, which is an outstanding little book. It's a lot of fun, a lot of cartoons, a lot of very poignant information. And the new book, which is I have in my hand, is called Revenge of the Computer Widow, which I was honored to be able to write a little comment in, and you allowed me to be in that, and I appreciate you doing that, Natalia.
That's not a problem. You wanted to hear the other people I contacted.
You were going to tell me about. I wanted you to tell us about some of these other people. You contacted Bill Gates. You contacted Steve Jobs. You contacted some other folks.
That's right. And I also there had these full-page ads running in your major business magazines like Fortune.
Right.
Where IBM profiled some of their key employees.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, gee, you know, you can call me up anytime to talk. Well, I called them up and I got their marketing department.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I hate that. That's terrible.
Misleading advertising?
Absolutely.
Well, you never know whether the people in the ads are virtual or for real.
Right.
I assume they're for real.
What a cheesy thing to do. Golly. So what did Bill Gates... I want to know what Bill Gates said to you when you called him.
Well, I didn't call him up, but, you know, he has a weekly local newspaper column. I'm sure it's distributed widely in the U.S.
Right. So you emailed him?
I emailed him.
What did he say when he emailed you back to tell you?
They didn't email me at all.
Bill Gates didn't email you back?
Well,
the richest man in the world didn't call. I can't believe that.
Oh,
that's
I'm
so
sure.
Disrespectful.
I'm sure it was treated as something else.
Well, have Steve Jobs with Apple, once with Apple, then not, and now with Apple again. You emailed him. What did he say?
They didn't respond either.
Well.
And also Katrina Garnett, who runs Crossworld Software, and she was on the back page covers of magazines like Fortune.
Mm-hmm.
I emailed her, but there was no response either.
Who would be the most? Did anyone who we would recognize as any kind of a, you know, well known name? Did anyone respond that you contacted that we would know?
I didn't reveal the people in the book, their exact names.
Okay.
But I did, you know, I did interview. There was a handful of millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
People who've made money in software.
Good. All right. Good. So you got folks from all over the spectrum.
All over the spectrum and all over the world where English is spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Like responses from Australia, Indonesia, Europe, the United States, Canada.
You talk about, in your book, you talk about digital cowboys. What's a digital cowboy?
Well, that's the name I give to the high-tech people of Calgary,
which is where you live.
Right, which I call Silicon Cowtown, which is a bit different than Silicon Valley, California. I think everybody's familiar with Silicon
right.
Valley, California.
Mm-hmm.
But what has driven the high-tech community in Calgary is the oil industry, the booms and the busts up here.
Mm-hmm.
And we have about 25, a high-tech community of about 25,000 persons. And what there's some of the differences is that this is beef country, so there are very few vegetarians.
Not a lot, so what you're saying is there's not a lot of tofu in Silicon Cowtown.
No, there is some being served.
I see.
But probably not to the extent as often as people from the West Coast.
Right.
Like people who say they're vegetarian, they're a vegetarian for two reasons. Maybe their Asian diet they prefer,
mm-hmm.
or they came from the West Coast.
Right.
Or from the Valley. And because we're so close to the mountains, you know, a common activity for a lot of computer professionals, those who spend a balanced lifestyle, they'd be out in the mountains hiking and camping.
Right. What about, let's talk about the nerd next door.
Mm-hmm. Then our nerd next door, when you see these people, you don't know really who they are. Like they could be a university student, they could be somebody in between jobs. The nerd next door isn't necessarily going to spend money on clothes. Like if you go downtown, I'm sure in any city, if you get downtown, you can pick out your lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Probably wear a pretty dark navy blue suit.
Right, conservative tie.
That's right.
Right.
But your computer...
Wingtips. Don't forget the wingtips.
Okay, the wingtips, too. But, you know, these are the people that they'll shop at Walmart. They could have $10 million in the bank.
The nerds are, the computer nerds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't, so when you meet them, you can't believe that you're, this guy's really rich.
Well, now, did they all have pocket protectors?
No. No, some may have. They still sell them around Silicon Cowtown.
Yeah.
More as a gag.
Have you seen a computer nerd with a pocket protector? And it was for real? It wasn't just a gag?
No.
I have. I've known them like that. What are some other things you find out about computer nerds?
In terms of lifestyle, I mean, there was one house I did visit. The first room that goes in is a computer room. I was surprised that so many people had installed local area networks in their houses.
Really? LAN?
Yes. That surprised me.
Tell our audience quickly what a LAN is.
That's when you put special telecommunication cabling between more than two computers in your house.
So no matter where you go in your room, in your home, I should say, you've got quick access to a computer.
That's right.
Yeah, and it'll be showing up the same thing on one computer as on the other. Stand by. We've got to take a quick break. It's 50 after. We'll be right back with our good friend, Natalia Lee. She's the author of Revenge of the Computer Widow. Stay with us. We are back. It's 54 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you're here. Natalia Lee is our guest. She's our good friend, the author of Revenge of the Computer Widow. Natalia, tell us one more time where we can get your book.
You can get the book, order it online at www.geekculture.com.
Geek, G-E-E-K, culture.com, one word.
Or you can call Book Clearinghouse at 1-800-431-1579.
Okay, good. And the other book, Miracles for the Entrepreneur, is that still available?
It's still available, and it's still available at those two numbers.
Okay,
and you
good.
Should get Revenge of the Computer Widow if you are a computer widow or you want to take yourself into the next millennium. It'll bring you up with everything. If you're a computer techie and you want to know how you stack up against all the other techies,
yep.
Or if you have to work with computer people, or maybe you're a modern-day gold digger and you want to marry one.
Tell us some more things about the computer geek next door, computer nerd next door.
Well, I asked people a bit about their personalities, personality strengths and weaknesses, and if they thought they're introverted, extroverted, or a bit of both. And it was interesting to find out that 90% of those surveyed were willing to tell me their type of underwear they wore, but only 60% were willing to divulge their personality strengths and weaknesses.
Wow. They would tell you what kind of underwear, but they wouldn't tell you whether they were their personality strengths and weaknesses.
That's right. Yeah, and for the record, 4% of men do not wear any underwear.
Whoa, Natalia, please leave that kind of information out. I don't want to know that stuff.
Okay, all right. Also, I also found out that more of the women interviewed were extroverted than the guys. About 29% of the men.
Very interesting.
Were.
Now, is this extroverted by their own opinion?
By their own opinion.
Yeah, they consider themselves to be an extrovert or an introvert.
That's right. And the extroverts were more likely to hold the senior positions in a high-tech organization.
Hmm.
And our introverts were more likely to be, and they weren't unhappy, you know, in the programming.
Yeah.
Doing the technical work, the real hardcore technical work, the programming and the system. Down.
It's what they want to do.
That's right.
It's the reason God made jobs like that.
That's right. And they make great employees. Whereas the extrovert, with their people skills, they've kind of risen through the organization, being a project manager, team leader, or at the executive level.
Right.
And in terms of strengths and weaknesses, the men more likely to say they didn't have any weaknesses.
Of course. Well, we don't.
And the women were a little more self-conscious about, you know, making work.
Yeah. Comments. What did the women say?
Well, the women, a lot of them, they felt they lacked confidence in their abilities.
Mm-hmm. And if you think you do, you probably do.
Yeah,
it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Prophecy, exactly.
Yeah. What else?
What else did I find about these people? Well, let's clear up one misconception. Pizza's not their favorite takeout.
What is their favorite takeout?
Chinese.
Oh, really?
Yes. Pizza comes a close second. but it's definitely...
It's because it comes in those neat little boxes. You know?
Well, it's... No. Computer people are practical people. A lot of computer people make their own pizza.
They
can't make Chinese food as good as they can make their own homemade pizza.
We got about 10 seconds. You asked them what their favorite snack food was. What did they say?
Chips.
Any particular kind of chip?
Oh, probably your regular potato
chip. Just a regular potato chip.
Although a lot of people like tacos and salsa.
Yeah. We got to wrap it up, Natalia. We're going to have you back in about a month, and we're going to talk some more about your research.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You did a great job. Ladies and gentlemen, Natalia Lee, the author of Revenge of the Computer Widow. It's at geekculture.com. Check that out. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.